Thank you. All right. So I'd like to call the July meeting of Law Enforcement and Public Safety to order. And I'd like to start by entertaining a motion to approve the June 9th meeting minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
Motion from Hansett.
A second.
Second.
All right. Second from Heppner. Any discussion? All right, seeing no discussion, all those in favor of approving the June 9th minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved unanimously. We will jump into resolutions. Our first resolution is resolution number 189, establishing a policy prohibiting the housing of incarcerated individuals transferred from facilities outside of Ulster County, the no more incarceration for profit policy. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Motion.
I'll move it. Second.
All right, I'm gonna take that motion from Hansett and second from Lopez. Actually the sheriff is here. All right. So I'll just say I don't think we've had an update here. I don't believe that, I know that Legislator Maloney and Sheriff Figueroa were planning on discussing it further. Looks like Legislator Maloney, Legislator Maloney is here. So we will give him a second to connect and let him speak to it.
Sheriff.
Hello, Legislator Maloney, not to put you on the spot immediately after joining, but yours happens to be the first resolution and we just moved it for discussion. So if you'd like to speak on resolution 189, the floor is yours.
Actually, I spoke to the sheriff today and I don't know if he mentioned that, but we're getting together early next week. And I think we're going to have something come forward by this next meeting that the sheriff and I agree on, and that hopefully some more legislators will. So I'd ask for another postponement or to not act. And by next month, I think we'll have a resolution ready to vote on.
Okay. Well, I will say this, if you and the sheriff agree that your chances are pretty good for the rest of us, I'd say. Anyone else want to speak on this? All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to postpone for 1 month.
Or no action? Last month we took no action.
All right, we can take no action. Let's do that. Let's keep that going. So with that, we can just move into resolution number 353, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Office for the Prevention of Domestic Violence, Enough is Enough Initiative, Department of Probation. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right, we got a motion from Heppner, second from Hansett. Director Schmidt, would you like to give us some background?
Sure. This is a program in our Crime Victim Assistance Unit. And this provides a crime victim counselor at both of our colleges, at SUNY Ulster and SUNY New Paltz. They do prevention work as well as respond to sexual assaults and dating violence on the college campuses.
Great. And this is 100% state funded, I believe. Any questions for Director Schmidt or any further discussion among the committee? All right, seeing no discussion, all those in favor of resolution 353? All those opposed? Resolution 353 is unanimous. Resolution number 354, authorizing an application for a comprehensive opioid stimulant and substance abuse site-based program grant funding from the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. I'd like to entertain a motion to discuss.
Motion.
Motion from Hansett. I'd like to hear a second.
Second.
All right, second from Heppner. Sheriff, if you'd like, I'd give you an opportunity to give us a quick overview.
Oh, good evening, everyone. Excuse my voice. I'm a little under the weather here recently. So I want first to say thank you for having me. And this is the COSAP grant that we put in for in 2019 and did not get, but we did get it in 2020. What we're putting in for is an enhancement of that same grant. I had the opportunity to meet some of the folks down in DC that sit on these boards for these grants. And we have a pretty good shot at an enhancement and receiving this grant. The last grant, which is still in place until next year, covers the cost of our social worker and peer advocates, as well as our staff for Oracle. This is going to be an enhancement to add peer advocates in the jail and also assist us with the higher numbers that we've been seeing recently. Good news is our numbers are down by 40% in the first quarters, this first quarter for the overdoses. So I'm pretty happy about that. So this is basically asking permission of the legislature to put in for an enhancement COSAP grant, which is $1.3 million.
Does anyone have any, and that's, oh, actually, just to clarify, that's the $1.3 million over a three-year period, I believe, correct?
That's correct.
Anyone have any questions for Sheriff Figueroa on this? Any further discussion? I just wanted to share, if I may, Sheriff Figueroa, can I share the contents of the email that you forwarded me about the presentation? So I just want to commend Sheriff Figueroa on some of the work that his office has done on this topic, and their work is actually going to be showcased at a very significant conference coming up later this fall. And he just shared with me that they've been selected to present on it. So I think that really speaks to the work that the sheriff's office has done and that our community is benefiting from. So I just wanted to give an opportunity to commend you on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But the credit goes to everyone in the legislature and our county partners. From the DA's office to the court system, to the Department of Health, and of course the county exec's office. So thank all of you.
All right, so any further discussion on this? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of resolution 354? Aye. And those opposed? The resolution is unanimous. Resolution number 355, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to approve reclassification of a part-time grant manager to a full-time peer recovery advocate, Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right. Motion from Legislator Lopez. Can I have a second? Second from Legislator Hansett. Sheriff, if you want to give us the background on the staffing change.
Sure. This is the initial grant that we got in 2019. We did hire a grants manager, but that person didn't work out. So we have not utilized that salary since then. I think it was like 8 months that we did. The numbers that these peer advocates are dealing with are astronomical. Usually a peer advocate will have 10 cases each per month. Our peer advocates are getting 30 per month, each one of them. So this will enhance our ability and the team to go out and deal with the overdoses that we have. The money will come from the unspent funds in this and from this grant, as well as in the future working with the county and the Department of Health with the opioid settlement fund.
All right, any questions for the sheriff? For further discussion? All right, all those in favor? And any opposed? All right, resolution 355 is unanimous. Resolution 356, authorizing an application for funds under the Law Enforcement National Initiative to improve public safety, enhance operations via training, recruitment, and retention, and building community trust grant. Also from the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right, motion from Legislator Heppner. May I have a second? Second from Legislator Hansett. Again, Sheriff, if you would give us a little bit of background on the program.
Yes. So this particular grant is targeting the enhancement of the dash cams in the car and Axon cameras for our corrections division. It is a match grant. So if we do not get the grant, then obviously we won't put in for the additional cameras at this point. We still have the Panasonic cameras, but their 3-year warranty was up last year that we're using at the Ulster County Jail. We're one of the only jails in the Hudson Valley that has body cams in the jail for our corrections officer. So this grant will be utilized for that effort.
Any questions for the sheriff? Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair. I was just wondering, without the part-time grants person, who's we're approving a few grants. I'm just wondering who writes the grants.
The rank and file of the sheriff's office, along with help from our folks at the county exec's office and the Department of Health.
Great, thank you.
So we're writing our own grants. I am sending folks to get trained. I do have one individual that I will have trained, hopefully, before the end of the year to be a grant writer. That's a great point, Legislator Hewitt, because this office has never had a full-time grant writer like other offices. Orange County has 6 grant writers. So thank you for asking that question.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? I'll just ask, so if this grant, I have 2 questions. The first is, if this grant is approved, is the match like a 50-50 match? Like it's, you know, dollar for dollar. And would that basically get us out of the Panasonic cameras once and for all?
Yes, sir. It is a 50-50 match, and that will get us out of the Panasonic cameras, which at some point, the warranty's up, we're going to have to replace anyway.
Right. And would it be fair to say that in all scenarios, you want to replace them with the same Axon models that we just approved for the road patrol?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Legislator Maloney?
Just questions about body cameras. Just curious, and I think these are things everyone should talk about in every police department or jail. With regards to the body cameras we have in the jail and out on the road patrol, can they be, are they, is every officer, do they always have a body camera that is on? Can they be turned off? Is there certain situations when they're not on?
Yeah, we have an actual written policy that's guided by the Division of Criminal Justice Services on the use of body cams. Because we're an accredited agency through the state of New York, we all have to adhere to the policies. Whenever the camera is on, it would be for interaction involving a case of law enforcement. Obviously, sensitive times that you won't have the camera on is when there's pertinent information. And we give our full body camera to the DA's office and let them do the redaction. We do not do redactions, but we try to keep personal information off the body cam. And obviously, if there's some sort of compromising situation for an individual, that will not be. What I mean by that is perhaps the person's being strip searched, that will not be on a body cam.
Is it the responsibility of the CO or the officer to turn the body camera on when they're going to have an interaction with a resident of the jail or someone in public?
That is correct. And I'd be more than happy to forward you a copy of our policy.
Oh, no, that's all right. Have we ever had any issues with a body camera not being turned on? You don't have to be specific.
It does happen, but they will get reprimanded for not having it on. So it's violating our policy. So they have to adhere to a policy. There's a training that we also do as part of our in-service yearly regarding the use of body cams.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheriff.
And if I may, Sheriff, can you speak also to the technology that the Axon cameras use that automatically turn them on? I know we went into that when we made the purchase for the road patrol.
Great point. That's one of the reasons why we went with Axon. So if a taser is deployed or a weapon's taken out of a holster, any agency that has an Axon within 25 feet, their cameras automatically go on. So when it comes to a weapon being removed from the holster or a taser that's being removed from its holster, the state police has Axon, the city of Kingston Police Department has Axon. So any agency in the county that has Axon, all their cameras automatically go on. I think it works out better for transparency and for liability for us in the county and our members.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any other questions or discussion on this resolution? All right, seeing no further discussion, I will call the question on resolution number 356. All those in favor? Any opposed? Resolution 356 is unanimous. Resolution 358, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $13,992, causing the aggregate contract amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with New York Communications Company, Inc., through the Ulster County Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Figueroa. This is the last resolution, and then we can let you rest up if you want to give us a little bit of an overview on the radio purchase, please.
So this is, again, additional purchases regarding our portable radios. Because it's over $50,000, the aggregate is $50,000. This amount is $13,000, has to be approved by the legislature.
And this is the same vendor. This is a vendor we see a lot here. So I think we've probably asked similar questions at previous discussions.
One of the first things I did when I became the sheriff was consolidate a lot of these individual contracts. Although we still have individual division contracts and not 40 or 50 contracts like it was before.
Any questions from the committee or legislature in general? Any further discussion?
Do you need a motion?
Yes.
Oh yeah, we need a motion to discuss. I'm sorry. Can I have a motion to discuss 358? Thank you. Legislator Hepner, can I have a second?
Second.
Legislator Hewitt. One of these days, I'll get through a meeting without forgetting one of these resolutions needing to be moved onto the floor. All right. So if there's no further discussion, I'll call the question on resolution 358. All those in favor? Any opposed? Resolution number 358 is approved unanimously. Before I read the next resolution, I will point out that it was provided in an amended format in your resolution packet through the OneDrive link. It's a standalone document in OneDrive. So if anyone is looking for the version that we're about to review as amended, it's in the OneDrive. So I will read it out. Resolution number 358 as amended. Amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to realign salaries and create a deputy chief ADA and a justice courts and diversion unit chief. Can I have a motion to discuss? Yeah. Motion from Legislator Hanson. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second from Legislator Hepner. And I will give the floor as we start out to District Attorney Clegg to give us a little bit of background.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you. I just want to say, I don't know if our sheriff is still on, but he's one of my heroes. The work he's done for our county is remarkable. And I just want to throw that out to him. So what we have here is an opportunity because we had one part-time person resign after 16 years to go on with his practice. And what I wanted to do was combine it with another part-time position to make a full-time position. There's no question in my mind that a full-time position provides substantially more to this office than two part-time positions. We have the opportunity to have somebody who had actually worked in this office for the last 18 years to take on that full-time position, which would be both for the justice court supervision and responsibility and for diversion, which is something we want to concentrate on. The big thing here is that out of all the cases that come through our court system in our county, the majority of them come through justice courts. And we want to make sure that the work that our prosecutor's office is doing in the justice courts is as successful as possible. I have spoken recently with one of the town justices in town of Ulster and have reinforced the fact that we need to reemphasize the work that we're doing in justice court. we're going through, obviously, a new world with discovery laws and responsibilities that we have. We want to make sure that we're doing them right. So combining these positions, taking this person on with the experience she has, and coordinating and supervising all the Justice Court ADAs that we have is really important for the public service in this community. And we also have, at the same time, I want to elevate Liz Comeni Mills, who's been in this office for 16 years. She's undertaking a deputy chief position, and she's taken that on and has been remarkably effective in it in the last month. She hasn't been paid for it yet, but she's taken on that responsibility. Her management skills are exemplary, and she has the confidence of everybody in this office. One of the reasons, if you want to know, why we need additional managerial support here is that our chief assistant, who is Manny Nagy, has presently 4 murder cases on his caseload, plus an attempted murder, plus 30 plus other cases. So that the normal scheme of things is the chief assistant would have very few cases and would be able to exert managerial support for the office. Right now, Manny, being the most experienced attorney for the office, has taken on more murder cases than has ever been in one person's caseload in this office ever. And so, and the extraordinary amount of work that he has to do is, and the extraordinary importance of the work that he has to do, takes away from his ability to also help manage the office. So both for Liz being the wonderful experienced person that she is, and the office demands that we have right now, I think once again, this serves the community in a very important way. So I'm asking that we get support for this.
So just to clarify, so this would be 2 internal moves, or is there an external, like a new hire as well? Just 2 internal moves.
Well, you know, so we're taking a part-timer and elevating her to a full-time position. And as I said, she's worked at this office for 18 years, and she's highly qualified at every level.
Any questions from the committee or the broader legislative body present? Any discussion? And I believe the budget impact is relatively minimal here. All right. Well, if there's no further discussion, I'll call the question on resolution number 358 as amended.
59.
All those in,
359.
Resolution number 359. So if there's no further discussion, I will call the question on resolution number 359 as amended. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, resolution number 359 as amended is passed, or is advanced unanimously. Resolution number 360, authorizing execution of intermunicipal agreements for expenses related to the Improving Criminal Justice Response, ICJR, to Domestic Violence, Dating Violence, Sexual Assault, and Stalking Grant Program, amending the 2022 Ulster County Budget, District Attorney's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss? Motion from Legislator Hepner.
Second.
So, second from Legislator Hepner. District Attorney Clegg, if you want to give us a quick overview on this one,
sure.
I appreciate it.
Quickly, as you probably know, we have an intimate partner violence intervention program that's been going on in this county for 3 years. We have moved that program to other law enforcement agencies within the county. To support that, we have applied for and received a $500,000 grant from the Department of Justice. So what we're asking for here is the right to start to disperse those funds. Those funds are mainly actually going to law enforcement in this community that is supporting the IPVI program, that being the County of Ulster, New Paltz, Kingston, the Ulster County Sheriff's Department. Those programs, those law enforcement agencies are going to be supported with monies from this grant. Also, we have an opportunity to hire someone who is a trauma-informed investigator, and we would like to move forward with that. There's also an opportunity to get somebody who's involved with data information so that we can, as we go forward with this grant, keep data that's informative both for our community and for the purposes of the grant.
Any questions from the committee? Commissioner Maloney.
Yeah, I heard New Paltz and Kingston as far as municipalities that would be part of the program. How did we decide which municipalities would be part of this?
Yeah, and I should have mentioned, we should have mentioned Saugerties also. So we started with Kingston, and that was going on for 2 years. And then we wanted to expand it. And we reached out, and Saugerties joined in. And then we reached out to the surrounding areas around Kingston, so Ulster and New Paltz, and both of them bought in. The sheriff and I have spoken about this in detail, and the sheriff's department wants to join in. So we would like to make this a program that's countywide. It is a preventative program so that when people have some kind of involvement with law enforcement that may reflect a domestic violence incident, we contact them and we follow them and we make sure that they know, one, that we're following them, two, that there are services out there that we can provide them, three, if they continue on this path, it's going to get more serious for them. So it's a sliding scale. And if you get up to the top scale, then this office has committed to prosecuting them at the highest level possible. So we let people know that beforehand. And hopefully that helps prevent. And actually, our program has had significant progress nationally based upon what they've seen.
Could you explain to me the logistics of how, I assume you're working with the sheriff's department? Do you have sheriff's department personnel working on this?
The sheriff isn't all in yet, but they will be.
I know Saugerties has a program that I've heard the chief of police talk about where they follow up, they do what you're describing.
Yeah,
and I know the county has a special department for sex victims and especially youthful victims. So I would assume that there'd be the logistics of this would involve that sheriff's department unit.
It will. So right now, Saugerties is part of our program. This is a program that comes out of my office, right? And we've been doing this both starting with KPD, now moving to Saugerties, now moving to New Paltz. Sheriff is going to be engaged in it. We haven't totally gotten there yet. Ulster is going to be engaged in it. We haven't totally gotten there yet. We are doing trainings. All this is in progress.
Should we get the sheriff on board and understand it all before moving further, why there's still moving parts that aren't working together on it?
I mean, obviously, the sheriff and I can talk all the time. We have good communications. It's just as we move this whole program forward, the sheriff's department is going to join in. And it's, you know, there's involvement training, involvement in terms of logistics. All of that is moving forward. Getting this grant in place will help move all of those things forward. There may be other law enforcement agencies in the county that will jump in at some point. But we have this grant. We want to use it to support our law enforcement partners, and we want to use it to make sure that we're trying to prevent as much domestic violence as possible.
With regards to the chain of command, the DA would the sheriff would be in the chain of command kind of under you? How does that look?
The whole IPVI program is run out of my office. We also use a national program that supports us, keeps statistics, guides us, makes sure that we're heading in the right direction. All of that is coordinated through my office. The training that happens with all the law enforcement folks is something that happens out of my office, and then we coordinate with it. They have meetings on a weekly basis to try and make sure that we're following up on everything. One of the issues is when we only had Kingston, obviously there are people committing domestic violence outside of Kingston. And there are people who do it in Kingston and move to Saugerties and move to New Paltz or wherever. We want to make sure that we're catching all of these folks and interrupting them.
So you collect the data. So when I heard the chief of police over in Saugerties talk about this, I don't believe he ever mentioned that this was a program that he was involved with through your office. It was almost stated like it was something the Saugerties PD was doing on their own. But you are collecting that data. They are reporting to you. We had this incident. We followed up. This is what happened. And then that data is being collected by you.
That's right. It's okay. All at my office. Yes.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Sure. Good to see you, Joe.
And just for kind of further background, this was that we had approved the application of this grant in 2021, which is mentioned in here. And I do have a question about just the distribution, because I suspect just based on the format I'm seeing, we're going to see, this isn't the only time we're going to see this, because it's a $500,000 grant, but we're getting $117,000. So can you speak to, is it just there's a payment term, or we're giving them reports and deliverables and getting refunded?
So that's right. So we have to expend the money and then we get refunded. That's the way it works.
So we're applying for the funding as we spend it down.
That's
so there
right.
will still be another $383,000, you know, that we'll be submitting for in similar
yes.
formats.
Yes. And it's all available to us. It's not time driven in terms of quarterly or anything else.
Is there a total deadline on when we have to perform the work?
No. I mean, it is a 4-year grant.
Okay, so there is. Okay. Yeah, so I was going to say, I've never heard of a grant with that.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, seeing no further questions, I will call the question on resolution number 360. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, resolution number 360 is unanimous. We have no old business. I have one topic that I have added on for new business. So in 2020, there was an executive order around policing. And over the months and into the next year that followed, there were a couple of commissions that our body was, or that the county was involved in. One was under the direction of the governor's office, appointed by the county executive, one that the legislature had been working on, and the two both presented reports with recommendations in 2021. The legislature's report was the second report that was shared with recommendations, and it commented on the report that was issued through the group that was organized by the county executive's office. So that report, which was issued in 2021, responded to the earlier report from the same year, and kind of, because it came from our body and this is where we are and this is what we're talking about, that's kind of our reference point for recommendations from all of the work around criminal justice reform. Now we're in a new year, we're in a new session, and we're coming up on the 1-year anniversary of the issuance of those recommendations. So tonight I want to share that I've been working with our staff, and I now would like to include the legislature more broadly and pull in all of the members of the executive branch of government that work in criminal justice reform, or work in criminal justice and were mentioned in these reforms. As we approach the 1-year anniversary of issuing this report, I'd like to issue an updated response, an updated snapshot of where we are on a lot of these. We've made a lot of progress on some. The progress has been slower. Some were really in need of an update because it might be across the finish line, it might not be, and there might be reasons for that. So tonight I am sharing as a heads up for the sheriff, the district attorney, for the county executive, and for those in, you know, my colleagues who are also involved in this, that over the next month, I'm gonna be reaching out to everybody. Our staff is gonna be reaching out, and we're going to get a snapshot of how all of these are going. And this is an opportunity for us to see where we're at and also celebrate the work that we've done, because a lot of work went into that report last year and a lot of progress has been made. And we certainly want to highlight that. I think a lot of times we issue these reports and work happens, but we never really recognize it. And we certainly should recognize it. And we certainly should show the public that we're still paying attention to the important work of criminal justice reform. So if anyone would like to comment on that now, I welcome you to. Otherwise, I will definitely be following up with the committee to send out the prior report just so that you have access to it, although you can find it on our website now, and reaching out to folks in the executive branch. So you're all have an opportunity to let us know where you're at on the specific recommendations that grew out of that report. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Legislator Hansett.
Well, first of all, thank you for doing that. And I am looking forward to seeing that. I'm going to print it out shortly. And just thank you for that work for that. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what has changed, what we need to work on. It takes a lot of people to do this. So thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And I just want to, you know, pass that along to our staff who are going to be helping with this and helped a lot with the original report. And I also want to, she's not here now because she's hiking the Appalachian Trail, but Eve Walter, Legislator Walter, former chair of Law Enforcement and Public Safety, did a lot of work on that report and also on bringing a lot of the resolutions that followed across the finish line. Because we really have done a lot of work. I mean, to take Crisis Stabilization Center as an example, you know, that was one of the things that was highlighted in the original report. And the progress that we've made on that is actually quite remarkable. And I commend the county executive team for contributing to that, and my colleagues in the legislature, and for Legislator Walter for, and Legislator Criswell, who was also very involved in that. So, you know, it's a team effort. And I think it's important that we recognize the work that happens behind the scenes and the work that is still to be done. Right, so that's all I wanted to say on that topic. Does anyone have any further new business they'd like to discuss? Legislator Hansett?
For Deputy County Exec Kelly, is there any update on the appraisal for the Government Operations Building?
So thank you, Vice Chair. I will have to defer to the legislature. We did not order the second appraisal. We had the first appraisal, so we are eagerly awaiting the second one ordered by the legislature.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have the answer to that. It's definitely in our court. I'm optimistic that we're gonna be able to get what we need to get to move forward with this. I know this committee was vocal in their support of this project, which is incredibly important. And I thank everyone for being an advocate. Yeah.
And I just have one more thing.
Of course.
So the chair and I, we had spoke about some of our agendas have been a little bit light, which is great. No problem there. But if we happen to be in person next month, I think the sheriff is not on right now, but we were wondering if maybe one of his, one of the groups, maybe Oracle could come and speak to us, just do a quick presentation on their program for anyone that hasn't heard it, or any updates or how it's moving along. So I can check with him and if it's okay with everybody else.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, you and I spoke about this, so you know already that I support this 100%. Okay. But I think just in general, some of these programs have so many moving pieces that it's great to have an opportunity. Particularly because, you know, we get resolutions about them and sometimes they're time sensitive, and it's good to get a head start on learning about the programs. That's why we did our little road show for the last couple of meetings, which I really appreciate everyone participating in. All right, any further new business? All right, seeing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All right, motion from Legislator Hewitt, second from Legislator Heppner. All those in favor? Any opposed? It is unanimous. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it, and hope to see you all soon, and either on Zoom or in person.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye, guys.